Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. So much to pack into today's two-hour show. We've got NBA trade deadline. Did the Nuggets get better? And I'm talking better, like championship better. JaVale McGee, Aaron Gordon, but no more Gary Harris. So we'll get to the trade information. We're going to try to catch up with Chris Dempsey in the second hour. We're going to have Jenny Kavnar on the program as well at the bottom of the hour to talk Colorado Rockies. We'll get her expectations of this team going forward. We're about a week away, Colfax, from seeing this Rockies team start on April Fool's Day, interestingly enough. 6 minutes after the hour. Kelly Lyle first, and first things first here. CSU's got a big one tonight. Continuing on in their quest in the NIT, getting set for the quarterfinal against NC State, the NC State Wolfpack. Kelly, my friend, this is interesting. It's always tough because I know our expectations for the Rams for most part of the year, once we kind of saw what this team was about, was, hey, could this team go dancing? Once they didn't, we all kind of came down to earth, but now we're back to business. The Rams barely moved past that first round. How much pressure is there on Colorado State tonight? And ultimately to win the NIT?
You know, I don't know. I don't know that you can ever say there's winning the NIT is such a weird thing because it's not the NCAA. You don't have the same level of motivation. You're not playing for a national championship. You're playing for a consolation prize to begin with. So I think it's always a little bit awkward. Certainly, you know, you hope that your players, your coaching staff, that everybody has that competitive fire to want to do the best they possibly can once they've been put in this other tournament. And I think this Colorado State team has shown throughout the year they have a pretty strong competitive fire to go out. You know, it starts with that comeback from 26 down at San Diego State. And then I think there's also, you know, if I'm Colorado State, I'm also playing with a chip on my shoulder to show that NCAA tournament committee that, hey, you screwed up when you didn't put us in that field. We're better than you think we are, and we're going to go out and prove it and win this other tournament. But every team in the NIT is probably feeling that way, including North Carolina State, certainly Memphis and some of the other teams that are in that tournament, Boise State. So, you know, I think that it's going to be a great thing. I don't know that you can say, though, there's a lot of pressure. I don't think anybody's going to say, oh, they lost in the second round of the NIT. What a disappointment. I don't know that anybody's going to view that this way. This is still the ninth youngest team in NCAA Division I basketball as a overall roster. And we've got to keep that in mind. Anything this team does in some ways is sort of a bonus, I think, because, you know, yes, going into this year, this is where I thought this team would be. I thought an NIT bid would be kind of their, you know, their goal, kind of where this team probably was going to end up. They're here. They ended up being a number one seed, number one overall seed in it. But, you know, I don't know how much that means. I don't know how often an overall number one seed has even made it to the final four of an NIT, let alone won it. They've only been doing it this way for a few years, you know, for I forget exactly when the NCAA took it over and made their own committee and their own seating and kind of started running the show rather than it being the independent event it used to be for so many years. But I don't think there's pressure, but I think it's certainly a excitement and a bonus. I see it almost as like winning a bowl game. It's not. You know, if you lose the New Mexico Bowl, is your season a disappointment versus if you win it? I don't know that anybody really feels that strongly one way or another. Certainly you can have some exciting wins, like when the Rams beat Washington State in the Shaquille Barrett Bowl, as I like to call it. But, you know, I don't know that you can say pressure, but it would be a nice bonus, and it would certainly help kind of the more games this team can win, the deeper into this tournament it can go, whether it's to the title game, winning a championship or not. I think it just benefits next year. It raises expectations. I think what they do in this year's NIT will impact how much pressure they have on them going into next season, but I don't know that the pressure's there right now. I hope that they don't feel it because I think this is a team that does well when they're just out. They're playing, they're competitive, but they're not feeling like it's a must-win situation. We saw that in that last regular season game at Nevada. We saw that in the Utah State semifinal in the Mountain West tournament, and I don't think the Rams played at their best in either of those games.
Kelly, I love that comparison, too, because that's kind of where my brain is. You know, bowl games can be a little over the top to me anyway. Bowl season's a little nutty, but it's available. So go win enough games to get in one. I guess once it's done, once you get into a bowl game, I've never been like, oh, man, here it goes. Because sometimes it's 2 weeks after, it's 3 weeks after, you know, the season. They're not in their typical plan as far as practice goes. It's the end of the season, everything. So I'm with you. I kind of equate these secondary tournaments to bowl season, maybe the lower half of bowl season.
Yeah, I think so. And then you've got to factor in all the COVID situations. I mean, these guys, this CSU basketball team has been basically in hotel rooms since leading up to the Mountain West tournament. They have not been home. They have not been back in Fort Collins. They went straight from Vegas to Dallas, and they've been in Dallas this whole time. You know, that's got to be tough too. And my understanding is they don't even double up. They don't even have a roommate in those rooms. It's just each guy is alone in his own room doing his schoolwork remotely. And they only come together for the practices. Even their meals, apparently, are mostly being eaten alone in their hotel rooms from, you know, it's brought to the door type thing. So that just creates so many additional issues for every team that I don't know that any team is going to be at its peak performance level under these circumstances. But you can say it's a level playing field, so maybe hopefully you're better than the opponent still because they're in that situation too. But it's tough no matter how you look at it.
Yeah. Kelly, how about the outside world? Minnesota gets their guy, so I think Rams fans have the sigh of relief there, at least for now. Nico Medved, I know you and I talked about the future and what that looks like for coach. I think, Kelly, to be real honest, half of me thinks, man, I could see Nico being the next Sonny Lubick in CSU. I really could. In Fort Collins and just being content with the family, a safe city, and just doing great things for Colorado State. But then there's that other side of me that says, hey, if he goes somewhere else, let's make that trip a little bit easier. At least for today, it doesn't appear that Nico Medved's going anywhere.
No, it doesn't. And I think the same thing, and honestly, I think it's easier. At the time Sonny Lubick did that here, Colorado State football could still win a national championship.
Sure.
It was still theoretically possible. It isn't anymore. It can't be done with the college football playoff if you're at a group of five school. I don't care. I mean, everybody says, sure, you can do it here, you can do it there. It won't happen unless they expand that playoff from the four-team system. I don't even think it can happen in an eight-team. I think it's going to have to get the 16-team before you can say a group of five team has a legitimate chance to play for and win a national championship. Basketball, that's not the case. Every team in the country has an opportunity. You know, I think it's why you can see what Mark Few's done at Gonzaga. You know, he didn't leave. He's had plenty of opportunities to leave for, you know, jobs that would seemingly have had more prestige, more money. Look what he's done. And you've seen that in college basketball. People can do that. You can stay at a school, a Colorado State, a Gonzaga, whatever school it may be, and still have that level of success. You're not blocked from being able to play for a national championship. So I think that makes a difference too, and I think that makes it a little more likely. I mean, like when Jim McElwain left Colorado State, he wanted to have a chance to win a national championship, and that was never going to happen at Colorado State under the current structure. I don't blame a guy for wanting to be able to aspire to be the very best he can be in his profession. I think most people, you don't want a coach that doesn't want to be the best he can be. So I totally get that. But the difference in basketball is you can do that at Colorado State. Yeah, it's never been done before, but that doesn't mean it can't be done. There's no prohibitive barrier like there is in football to winning a national championship from a Mountain West school. So I think that makes a difference. I do have a major concern in that I think Dave Thorson has been a big part of what Nico has created. And Dave Thorson, Ben Johnson, who they hired at Minnesota, played for Dave. And Dave's a longtime Minnesota guy. And I'm sure that there is probably at least a little bit of feelers out there as to whether he would want to come join that staff. And certainly, you know, that would be a big loss. And really, JR, Ali, that whole CSU coaching staff, those are some good coaches. And keeping that whole staff together is going to be a real challenge year after year after year. But I think that's also a good thing because they only come want to take your assistance if you're winning.
Yeah, no question about it. Kelly Lyle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kelly, how about onto the football side of things? Spring football still up in the air, at least for fans to be able to come out and check this out. We're seeing all over the state we're lifting some of these restrictions. The Rockies are going to allow fans. We're going to see the Ball Arena allow some fans coming up starting up next week. What's the Rams side of it? Rams still not looking to let fans watch spring ball. And Coach Addazio kind of questioning that, I suppose?
Yeah, he did, but it's not going to change. The universities, in fact, that's some of the phone calls I've been on, was clarifying that the athletic department is not involved in those decisions. It's the university's pandemic preparedness team, and when they put out their statement at the end of February that there would be no spectators for on-campus sports this spring, they meant it. They're sticking to their guns. I recently tweeted out a link to the CSU COVID cases, and even though rates are down, county down in the state, they're actually up on campus in the past couple weeks. And if that's the data that pandemic preparedness team is concerned about, now granted, out of the total number of students at CSU and faculty and staff, their numbers are still ridiculously low. But the increase from what they were a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, is something that they're probably concerned about. And I know the Larimer County Health Department has expressed concern about the increased cases among 18 to 24-year-olds in the county. So even as the cases go down, et cetera. Now, the good news is we're getting the people that we were most concerned about, the most vulnerable 70 and over population, vaccinated. And I'm told that rates have gone down in the county by 95% as far as overall case rates among people in that age group since the end of December, let alone the deaths and hospitalizations that obviously have gone down. So that's huge. But this virus is still spreading significantly among college-age students in Fort Collins. And so I understand maybe why there would be a little more reluctance on the part of the university to open it up. I wish they would. I don't think outdoor spectator sports when people are socially distanced is going to lead to any kind of transmission, but I'm not a scientist, I'm not a doctor, I'm not an epidemiologist, and unlike a whole lot of other people on social media, I'm not pretending to be one either.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. Everybody's got... Well, I was laughing. I think it was on your Twitter, Kelly. People were like, hey, Fort Collins, don't let Denver run the show. Don't let Denver call the shots. And it's like, well, wait, Denver's lifting stuff right now. So, and I know they were coming at you for that.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. Everybody saying, well, we're not allowed to do it. It's like, well, no, actually you are. And I mean, people keep saying, oh, our restaurants aren't open. And yeah, they are. Yeah. I ate out in Loveland on Saturday night. I ate out in Fort Collins on Tuesday night this week. So yes, they are, and I ate indoors at restaurants. And yes, we wore our masks except when we were eating, and tables were socially distanced, although now they can go to 100% as long as they can keep that 6 feet separation. So, these decisions are being made, and they're slowly, these restrictions are being eased. But in theory, you hope that the people that are making those decisions are still basing their decisions on science. That's what Steve Addazio was questioning a little bit. And I understand why you would question some of that, especially when it comes to outdoor gatherings where people can be socially distanced. I think it's more a concern of the image that CSU does not want the image that they're helping spread, that by bringing people to campus when they're focused so hard on getting through till their spring break in mid-April to keep students on campus as much as possible. And I think that's their primary focus, not whether or not, a couple hundred fans can watch a spring football game or go watch a soccer game or a softball game or a track meet.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Kelly, always appreciate your insight, man. And, hey, we'll look to catch up with you next week. We'll see how the Rams do tonight, 5 o'clock ESPN. And, hey, it's available to you. Go ahead and win the thing, and we'll discuss next week.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Oh, we got so much to get to. So Steve Adazio is probably like, dude, I got here last year. There was all this buzz, and I haven't got a. We haven't have fans in the stands. I don't have people coming to spring. What? When do we start getting to show this football team off? I'll assure you folks too, with my coverage of the Rams. Certainly, I didn't go out to basketball games and all that stuff. You know, they didn't really have restrictions on the media, but at that stage with my little one, I was like, you know, does it even make sense? I can watch most of the games at home. I will be ramping up our Rams coverage next fall once we can go out to practice again. So I'm looking forward to that and getting Coach back on very soon. CSU, NC State tonight in the quarterfinal of the NIT. Well, we'll see what happens. Rams, I think, are dogs in this one. And the Nuggets went after it, Colfax. No more Gary Harris. We're bringing back JaVale McGee. We're bringing Aaron Gordon in. No Lonzo Ball, at least yet. But that might be enough. What does the starting lineup look like for Denver? I'll give you my thoughts on that. We're also going to talk to Jenny Kavnar, first time on the program. Of course, Rockies reporter. And we'll get her excited to get her thoughts on what she expects, realistically. What she expects, and, you know, her thoughts on the Rams, too. I know she's a Ram. 21 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
You're listening to The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Sefolu Fow, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Looking to advance to a game number 6 back in Denver on Thursday night. McGee with a nice move. Dalamari looking for the opening. There's McGee to the reverse.
Oh, how did he get all the way to the other side of the rim? He is so long.
Here's the lead pass for McGee. Right on target. Andre Miller with a sensational feed.
Lakers getting booed by their home crowd right now, but give credit to the Nuggets.
JaVale McGee's coming back, Colfax. We're bringing him back.
Oh, hey, he has 3 championships, Colfax.
LeBron James has not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4. JaVale McGee is 1 behind LeBron James. You're bringing a 3-time champion here who has a mustache tattooed on his index finger so that when he puts it up to his lip, he has a mustache suddenly. You can't buy that kind of play. Well, I guess you can. Love it. Oh, and by the way, Aaron Gordon is coming to town. It's huge. I love it all. I'm so happy. I didn't think the Nuggets were going to make a move. I didn't see it happening. I didn't think it was going to happen, man. But they did. Now, RJ Hampton is gone, who, you know, young and up and comer. We liked the draft. Zeke Nagy, to me, is the long game. So they still have him as of right now. And I've got my eyes on Twitter. I've got my eyes on Woj on Twitter right now. But to get Aaron Gordon, they traded Gary Harris. It sucks. Fan favorite, for sure. RJ Hampton and a first-round pick to the Magic for Aaron Gordon. Also got Gary Clark, so we got our Gary back, so right there, that's fine. And then they traded Hartenstein, which I was just starting to get that name down. Hartenstein for 2 second round. I think one's protected, one's unprotected. It doesn't matter. One's a 2023, the other's 2027. Denver wasn't supposed to have a second-round pick when they drafted Bol Bol, and out of thin air, they got one. So I'm good, man. I mean, these moves are all fantastic. Gary Harris was hurt, maybe? Not sure. But we're going to get into all this. I love the text. Keep them coming here. Dixon says, Brady, love the additions by the Nuggets. I want to get into more of that. Let's look at the starting lineup. But we're going to get to I know it's Nuggets Day, but we wanted to schedule this so badly. We wanted to get Jenny Kavnar on the program. Been wanting to get her on the program for a while. A host reporter, of course, over at AT&T Sportsnet, talking all things Colorado Rockies. So we'll get Jenny up next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Here, Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. It's The Hull Show powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. So much going on today. I told you, it's going to be a busy Thursday. And it is just an absolute honor to get to our next guest on the program, Jenny Kavanagh, with AT&T Sportsnet, Rockies Insider. Jenny, thank you so much for being on the program. I know you are a busy lady, but we're thrilled to have you on the show.
You got it. I actually got my start in the business at 1310. So I'm pumped to be back.
You know, honestly, I did not know that. I was going to talk to you about CSU a little bit, but I did not know that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, Rich Berkemshaw and Brian Ross gave me my very first internship, and I got to do a little bit of everything. I think I created some promo stickers to hand out at football games, and then they finally let me on the air. So I guess thanks to them, here I am today.
That is so cool. That is the best story. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. So, well, Jenny, I wanted to ask you, too, tonight, NC State, Colorado State, your alma mater there, NIT quarterfinal. Rams going to do this thing tonight?
I think so. I think especially after the way they played, kind of a slower start the last game. I mean, they're chomping at the bit. They've had such a great season. I'm ready for them to finish on the highest note possible. And they're the only Mountain West team still playing in the postseason. So. Hey.
Yeah, well, and you look at the Mountain West, yeah, and in the bracket challenge last week, we were looking at it, and we really wanted to see San Diego State and Utah State do something so that the conference could get a little more respect. Now it's kind of the Rams. They need. I think they kind of do. They need to win this one, get to earn some respect for the conference.
I think so, too, and I think Nico will have the team ready to roll, and you know those guys have been playing so well all season. And at this point, it's about health, it's about chemistry, and after having that week off, hopefully they're refreshed too.
Jenny, I know you do a lot more outside of just the Colorado Rockies. How much do you talk to Coach Medved? Do you talk to him on somewhat of a regular basis? He's like the nicest guy in the history of the world.
He is. He's so fantastic, and I think as you know, an alum of CSU, we're so. So excited that he is a basketball coach today. He has done wonders for the program. I've known Nico for a very long time. I've known him since he was Tim Miles' assistant, and had a great relationship with him. I definitely text him here and there and congratulate him on big wins. And then obviously covering the conference, I didn't have a CSU basketball game this year, but you know, keep in touch on the conference and all the happenings for work. So it's cool. We're very lucky in Fort Collins that the Medveds are there.
Yeah, and such a fun conference to cover too, Jenny. I mean, for a while there, I really thought there was going to be four teams that get into the, that got into the big dance.
Too.
Yeah, felt like it.
Yeah, I mean, it did. I remember the year that five teams got in, and unfortunately, they all lost. Which is such a bummer. So I was hoping for a little more this year. The conference has definitely been down, but you know, that's the hard part about the Mountain West. When you have good teams, especially like the good four or five at the top, is eventually they start beating each other up or splitting games, and it kind of hurts them in the ratings and or in the rankings. And so I thought towards the end of the season, Boise State was actually probably playing their best basketball in those two close games they had against San Diego State, where they lost by just a possession in both of those, really hurt them. And then obviously, you know, you look at Colorado State and the tough loss to Nevada. It's a bummer. It's such a bummer that they didn't get in. But I think, too, during COVID year, it was almost like you look back and you're like, gosh, if a couple of those games weren't rescheduled, would Colorado State have made it in?
Yeah.
We will never know.
I know Rams fans were just bummed about the way that schedule happened. I mean, and we were adding only a few games. And it was a weird way to end it, I suppose. But you know what? The cool thing is this Rams team should be locked and loaded for next year. Might do some really special things.
Well, I think that's the exciting part. And, you know, college basketball is such an unknown right now with the transfer pool and players that are able to just, you know, get in the pool and transfer without having to sit that year out. I think it's going to be a game changer in how coaches utilize that. And I think in the Mountain West Conference, you know, transfers have been a big part of the game and helping teams kind of get over the edge. So I think Nico has a fantastic group right now. And again, such a great recruiter and, getting, you know, not only fantastic athletes in there, but great human beings that you can root for. And so I think it might even just get better with that transfer pool, depending on who's available in there for next year.
Yeah, and on so many levels, I love the transfer portal. But do you also get the sense that maybe coaches are looking over their shoulders all the time? Because guys, you know, they might come and go. They might have good reasons for it, which is why I like it. But if you're a Rams team, I mean, you're suddenly looking at some of these great players that they could go anywhere. Do you ever get that sense, too, that maybe it's a good thing, but coaches are constantly kind of on edge, biting their fingernails?
Well, I think the confident coaches aren't, right? Like, You know your system and you know the players that you recruited. And I think some of those coaches have to take the philosophy of, well, if you don't want to be here, then we don't want you here. Mm. Because we're working on something really special. And so I think for teams that are confident in their system and who they have. But I do think there are some coaches out there that are definitely, you know, wondering, is this kid going to jump and try and get into the next level? Am I going to lose out on a guy that's maybe been a bench player, but I really was planning on utilizing him or her come, you know, junior, senior year, but now after sophomore year, they're bitter and they're out, and that ruins my whole recruiting process and plan. That's where I think it's going to be frustrating for coaches, because your plan in recruiting really is years and years out. It's not just about next year. And so I think if you have a good, solid recruiting system, and then you can utilize the portal to look at a player and say, oh, wow, that person ended up there, and I maybe had looked at that person originally, and they went to another school, and now all of a sudden, like, they would be such a great fit with this team. I think those are the teams that are going to benefit more than the teams that either, A, rely so heavily on it, or B, the teams that are so scared of it.
We're talking to Jenny Kavner. And Jenny, we haven't even mentioned Nolan Arenado yet. We've had you on for 10 minutes, and we haven't said that name yet with you. How's life for you? I mean, again, Nolan, we all love Nolan. And I know you guys, you're so tight there at AT&T Sportsnet. And, of course, what you guys do with the Rockies. Oh, my goodness. What's this like for you?
Yeah, I think it was weird. I mean, I think you saw some writing on the wall that this could be a possibility. A lot of factors in play. Obviously, Nolan's public unhappiness going into last year after the offseason, and then the way he played and kind of the way this team had played the last two seasons, and then obviously the pandemic and financially what the situation was going to be for the Rockies. So kind of saw the writing on the wall, but I think even though we know it's a business, and even though, you know, many times before you've watched players come and go, this one was hard. Mm. I've known Nolan since he got called up. I've known Nolan since he was a prospect and done a lot with his family. We've done a lot of deep inside stories with him. I've traveled to California, met his high school coaches and people that were really influential in his life. So, you know, when you watch someone grow up like that, I definitely have an affection for Nolan as a person and as a generational player. He's the best third baseman in the game, and it's really hard to watch a talent like that leave. But at the same time, I think it felt like the end was coming, and I think it's time for both parties to move on. You know, for Nolan as a person and as a player, I wish him nothing but success. I hope he goes and gets exactly what he wants, and I think we'll see him as an MVP one day, and, you know, a World Series champ probably. He has really high goals, and he wants to win, and he'll take nothing but that. So on that side, on the Rockies side, you know, they're missing a hole for sure. But at the same time, it's been interesting to watch these young players take the challenge of like, hey, this is our team now, and they're trusting us with that, and we have to move forward and show up. And I'm specifically talking about Ryan McMahon, for Brendan Rodgers. I think for Brendan getting hurt this spring training, it's been such a big disappointment because he just hasn't had that ability to go out and show each and every day why he was a highly touted prospect. I think he was really confident and looking forward to this year, winning that second base job going into the season. And now, who knows when Brendan's going to be healthy and available to play, but that's the name of the game. Like, who's next? Who's going to step up? And we've seen a lot of Josh Fuentes again. I mean, that's Nolan's cousin, and like it or not, you know, he's cool with it. You know, he said, I can't wait to hopefully play third base and have some fans talking trash to me. And, you know, I'm just the younger cousin who's never been drafted. You know, he's very outspoken about it. And I think that's driven him a lot. And obviously he had a very consistent bat for the Rockies at the end of last season and played a great first base. So there's some young guys that are chomping at the bit to really take it to the next level and prove that even though everyone nationally has written this team off, they still have some wins in them, but it's going to be tough. It's a really, really tough division.
Now, Jenny, that was what I was going to ask you, is kind of the feeling around the clubhouse. Is, you know, yeah, there is that whole Nolan's your guy, your leader, your teammate, your brother leaving, but is there that sense, and you kind of already alluded to that, that there's this sense of, hey, it's us against the world, this fan base, is, some of them are really upset and all that, but we feel like, man, don't count us out. We could go do something pretty special.
Yeah, there's definitely that feeling in there. And I think, you know, a lot of people want to point to Nolan as a leader of this team over the past. And, you know, this isn't a knock on Nolan, but I'm not sure that he was the team leader. And I think when you have a superstar like that, it doesn't always come from the superstar to be the vocal leader. I think he set the tone. I think he set the tone for what he wanted this team to do, and I think they all followed suit in that. But I think in terms of leadership, really we're starting to see Trevor Story become more of a vocal leader. It's something that's been in him, more of, you know, kind of watch what I do. But I think he's talking a lot more now. I think Charlie Blackman's had to kind of remember, realize that he's the elder statesman in there, and there's a lot of young guys that are looking towards him, and you know, he's always been a leader by example as well. But I think those two have definitely stepped up. But really, the leader of this team, if you want to put a name on it, is Kyle Freeland. I mean, he's been the one that's been vocal. He's been the one that wants to take charge, and he wants to be the one that's counted on every fifth day as a starter. Obviously, Kyle experienced leaving a spring training game the other day with a shoulder injury that there's still a lot unknown around it, and so that's going to be a bummer. He probably won't be on the opening day roster, but how long this injury takes, you know, to be determined. But in terms of like the step up leadership types, they're in that clubhouse, and I think without Nolan there, without maybe that pressure that is put on a team when you do have a superstar of that caliber, perhaps we'll see a different style of play. And again, that is not a knock on Nolan. I think the thing that makes Nolan so great as an athlete is his desire to win at any cost. And we saw that in Troy Tulowitzki as a player before he was traded too. But yeah, I think there's definitely some leadership left in that clubhouse that's stepping up.
And you mentioned it, Kyle Freeland. I know you talked about Brendan Rodgers earlier, a scare with John Gray. How serious are some of those? It doesn't sound like John Gray's is going to be that big of a deal, but Kyle Freeland, like you said, kind of up in the air.
Yeah, I think the Kyle Freeland one, you know, when Bud Black, the former pitcher himself, said it really scared him, that always kind of worries you. They obviously were waiting on the MRI. I know Tracy Ringlesby was reporting last night that there was a tear in the shoulder, but it wouldn't require surgery. We have a press conference coming up with Bud Black here in just a few minutes, and hopefully we'll find out a few more details about that. But, you know, you really were hoping that Kyle was going to be part of that big rotation. And what's funny about the 2021 Rockies is you're talking about their biggest strength going in on paper is their pitching staff. I mean, that's very rare in the history of this team that you're able to talk about their pitchers as being their greatest strength. So the fact that two of them are potentially hurt right now, I think for John Gray, it sounded like it was just bruising and swelling, and they'll probably do some treatments and maybe push him back a little bit, but I think he'll be ready to go for opening day. You know, it's led by Germán Márquez at the top, who will most likely be named the opening day starter. And then Antonio Sensatella came in the spring and had a hamstring thing, which really you have to watch and monitor, because hamstrings in this game can come and go. And so that's something I think they were a little nervous about, but he, you know, checked off a lot of boxes and finally got into a Cactus League game and said he feels great and was tested a lot in that game. So that's the good news. Building your depth behind you with Kyle Freeland not starting now for the season, like, who's going to take his place in the rotation? And I think that's the big competition. It looks like Austin Gomber will definitely be in the rotation, who they got back from Nolan from the Nolan Arenado trade. But for Kyle's spot, do you go with Chichi Gonzalez, who we've seen before and who's made a lot of spot starts in his career? Do you go with a Derek Rodriguez, Von Rodriguez's son, who used to play for the Giants and came into camp as a non-roster invitee, and his spring numbers haven't been great, but that's the direction you head. So I think there's some big decisions to be made. Or do you, you know, head and go with the young guy and start his clock like a Ryan Rollison, which I don't anticipate him doing since he's not on the 40-man roster right now. But there are some question marks surrounding that starter and opening day just a week away. So it'll be interesting to see where their depth is tested early in the starting rotation.
Either way you slice it, like you said, opening day about a week away. So we're looking forward to that, Jenny. So excited to see what honestly, I am excited. I've talked about it. I'm bummed as the next guy about Nolan, but I am excited to see. At the end of the day, it is still about pitching. And you said it. I mean, if you get past these injuries, there's a strength there. So hopefully they can live up to that. Jenny, you are welcome back at KFK anytime you want to be back here and you can help us with stuff. But we'd love to get you back on the program. I don't think there's many better in the profession. So we're just absolutely thrilled to get you on the show.
Oh, you got it. Thanks for having me on. And go Rams tonight.
All right. Big one tonight. All right. I'm going with you, too. I think the Rams take this thing.
Yeah.
All right, Jenny. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great.
All right. Jenny Kavnar, AT&T Sportsnet, talking rock. Hey, come on. I mean, listen to Jenny and tell me you don't get pumped up a little bit about the Rockies, potentially. A little bit, maybe. Yeah. Jenny's great. I didn't know that she worked here at KFK Colfax.
Gotta me either. It's awesome. There's potential something. Here.
There's potential. Does that mean you and I are big things? Is that what's going to happen?
Destined for greatness.
Destined for greatness. Yeah, I think so. A couple of texts I want to get to. I love the Flying Dutchman. Loves the guest. Book this guest as many times as you can. Great stuff. Honestly, we've been trying to get Jenny on, or been meaning to get Jenny on for the longest time. Last year was just so crazy, but hopefully we can get more from her. I think she's expecting another one down the road, so another little one. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break, 51 minutes after the hour. When we come back, we got to get to, the Nuggets got some big news, man. JaVale McGee, Aaron Gordon, how big is that? Does that put this team over the top? All right, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Spring is in the air, and that means high school baseball will decorate Preps Radio on 1310 KFKA. The Power Trip, weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. For those of you that think the Rockies are already dead and buried, all right, here's this. Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. Give Scott Robert or a member of their great staff a call today. And you listen, we all got to go through it. We all got to deal with it. Don't make your family deal with it. I mean, talk to them about pre-planning. It truly is an amazing gift. We've been there. We've been in those situations, and it's just nice to know something is taken care of when you're going through the worst time. Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. Service is as unique as life. Their website is mosierfuneralservice.com. Dixon says, Brady, love the additions by the Nuggets. I think they got better today in a big way. They made more moves than Noob at the Den. There it is. I thought we were going to go an entire hour without getting a Den reference, but who am I kidding? What show is this? This is The Whole Show. Of course, we're not going to go an hour without a Den reference there. Eastside Chris, let me get to your text, then I'll think about it. Brady, rabbit hole question. Would you rather be MVP for the season or MVP for the NBA Finals? That banner will hang for a long time. Super acquisitions now, Joker can get a little rest. Let me think about that. MVP for the season or NBA MVP for the Finals, if I can spit that out. We'll answer that coming back. Thursday night specials coming up in the second hour, too. It's The Whole Show.